Find someone your level. She sneered, her diamond-clad fingers dismissing a broken heart as if swatting a common fly. What that cruel matriarch didn't realize was her vicious insult would trigger a scandal that shook 19th-century England, prompting a notoriously elusive duke to cross 3 counties just to prove her wrong. Spring rain lashed against the towering leaded windows of Oakhaven Manor, matching the tempest tearing through Lydia Harrington's chest. Standing in the center of the cavernous drawing room, she felt the crushing weight of the Arbuthnot family's centuries-old legacy bearing down upon her shoulders. Lydia was not born to the servant class, but fate had cruelly demoted her. As the orphaned daughter of Reverend William Harrington, she possessed an impeccable education, a sharp wit, and a lineage that was respectable but entirely devoid of fortune. For 3 years she had served as the paid companion to the dowager aunt of the Arbuthnot family. But her true crime, the one that had summoned the wrath of the estate's formidable matriarch, was capturing the heart of the heir, Simon Arbuthnot. Lady Honoria Arbuthnot paced the Persian rug like a predator. She was a woman constructed of cold marble and rigid societal expectations, her silk gown rustling with terrifying authority. In her hand, she clutched a crumpled piece of parchment, a hastily scrawled love letter from Simon to Lydia, promising a secret elopement to Gretna Green. "Did you honestly believe?" Lady Honoria began, her voice barely above a lethal whisper. "That the future Earl of Oakhaven would throw his title, his fortune, and his bloodline away on a penniless dependent, a woman whose greatest asset is her ability to read French aloud to my half-blind sister-in-law." Lydia's heart hammered against her ribs, but she kept her chin elevated. She looked past the matriarch, her desperate gaze seeking the man who had penned those very promises. Simon stood by the fireplace. He was pale, his eyes glued to the flickering embers, his jaw tight. "Simon," Lydia said, her voice trembling but clear, "tell her. Tell her what you told me yesterday in the rose garden. Tell her we are bound by our word." The silence that followed was the most agonizing sound Lydia had ever endured. The ticking of the grandfather clock echoed like a judge's gavel. Simon finally looked up, but not at her. He looked at his mother. It was a momentary lapse in judgment, mother. A foolish indiscretion. Miss Harrington misunderstood my intentions. The betrayal was a physical blow. Lydia felt the breath leave her lungs. The man who had sworn his undying devotion, who had kissed her under the ancient oaks and promised to defy the world for her, had collapsed at the first sign of his mother's displeasure. Lady Honoria smiled a chilling, victorious expression. She stepped closer to Lydia, the scent of heavy rose water and powder suffocating the younger woman. "You see, Miss Harrington, men like my son amuse themselves with pretty little birds that fall from their nests." Honoria sneered, her eyes glittering with malice. "But they do not marry them. Pack your meager belongings and leave my house before nightfall, and if you ever wish to avoid starvation, I suggest you heed this advice. Find someone your level." Lydia did not weep. The shock of Simon's cowardice had cauterized her tears. She gave Lady Honoria a stiff, perfectly executed curtsy, a silent testament to the breeding the older woman claimed she lacked, and walked out of the drawing room without a backward glance. By dusk, Lydia was seated in the corner of a damp, rattling mail coach, her entire life reduced to a single leather trunk. As the imposing iron gates of Oakhaven faded into the mist, the matriarch's words echoed in her mind. "Find someone your level." Lady Honoria intended those words to bury her. Instead, they planted a seed of cold, unbreakable resolve. Lydia swore to herself, staring out at the darkening Gloucestershire countryside, that she would never again allow her worth to be dictated by the fragile egos of the aristocracy. She was travelling south, relying on the last favour owed to her late father. An eccentric, reclusive widow in Somerset, Lady Agatha Linfield, was in need of an estate manager disguised under the polite title of a secretary. It was highly unusual for a woman to hold such a position, but Lady Agatha was known to despise societal norms as much as she despised her own greedy relatives. Lydia arrived at Bramblewood Hall 3 days later, exhausted, muddied, but fundamentally transformed. The naive girl who had loved Simon Arbuthnot had died on the road. In her place stood a woman of steel. Bramblewood Hall was entirely unlike Oakhaven. Where Oakhaven was rigid, imposing, and obsessed with appearances, Bramblewood was wild, overgrown, and humming with untamed life. Ivy crawled up the limestone walls and the library. Lydia's new domain smelled of old parchment pipe tobacco and dried lavender. Lady Agatha Linfield was a revelation. Confined to a wheeled chair due to a riding accident in her youth, the dowager possessed a mind like a steel trap and a tongue sharper than a razor. She took one look at the pale, exhausted girl standing in her foyer and demanded, "Do you weep over spilled milk and broken hearts, Miss Harrington?" "No, my lady," Lydia replied evenly. "I prefer to clean up the milk and ensure the heart is out of reach." Lady Agatha cackled a dry, rasping sound. "Excellent. You start with the tenant ledgers tomorrow. My nephew has made a mess of them, and I need a sharp mind to root out his thievery." Over the next 6 months, Lydia thrived. Stripped of the suffocating expectation to simply look decorative and agreeable, she poured her formidable intellect into managing Bramblewood. She negotiated with tenant farmers balanced accounts that had been neglected for a decade, and spent her evenings debating philosophy, agriculture, and politics with Lady Agatha. She had found peace. But destiny, it seemed, was not finished with Lydia Harrington. The disruption arrived on a crisp autumn afternoon, heralded not by a grand coach, but by a solitary rider on a massive black stallion. Lydia was in the lower meadow, her skirts pinned up to avoid the mud, inspecting a collapsed stone wall with the head groundskeeper. She was arguing quite passionately about the cost of local limestone versus imported granite when the rider brought his horse to a halt nearby. He was striking, but not in the polished, perfumed manner of the London dandy. He was tall, broad-shouldered, with dark, wind-swept hair and eyes the colour of a stormy sea. His riding clothes were impeccably tailored, but covered in dust, suggesting a long, hard journey. "Excuse me," the stranger called out his voice, a deep baritone that carried effortlessly over the wind. "I'm looking for Lady Agatha Linfield. I was told I might find the estate manager here." Lydia wiped a smudge of dirt from her cheek and stepped forward, lifting her chin. "You have found her. I am Miss Harrington, Lady Agatha's secretary. State your business, sir, as we are currently in the middle of assessing a structural failure." The man blinked, clearly taken aback. His gaze swept over her, taking in the pinned skirts, the muddy boots, and the unapologetic fire in her eyes. A slow, deeply amused smile spread across his face. "I apologize, Miss Harrington," he said, dismounting with athletic grace. "I had not expected my godmother's new manager to be quite so fiercely engaged in masonry. My lady requires results, not delicate sensibilities," Lydia retorted, annoyed by his amusement. "Who may I say is calling? Nathaniel?" He replied simply, "Just tell her Nathaniel is here." When Lydia escorted the mysterious Nathaniel into the drawing room, Lady Agatha nearly launched herself from her chair. "Nathaniel, you insufferable wretch!" The old woman cried out, her face breaking into a rare, genuine smile. "I thought London society had finally swallowed you whole." "They tried, Aunt Agatha," Nathaniel said, crossing the room to kiss her frail hand. But I found their conversation lacking and their sherry watered down. I needed a refuge. As Nathaniel turned back to look at Lydia, Lady Agatha waved a dismissive hand. Miss Harrington, this vagabond who just tracked mud onto my Orbison rug is Nathaniel Wentworth, the Duke of Aylesbury. Lydia froze. A duke, a man whose wealth and power eclipsed the Arbuthnot family 100 times over. He was known in the gossip sheets as the elusive duke, a man who ruthlessly guarded his privacy, possessed estates across half of England, and actively despised the superficiality of the ton. Your Grace, Lydia said, performing a crisp professional curtsy, completely devoid of the fawning deference he was likely accustomed to. I shall arrange for your chambers to be prepared. She turned to leave, but Nathaniel's voice stopped her. Miss Harrington, I couldn't help but overhear your argument regarding the limestone. You were entirely correct. Granite would shift in this damp soil. Lydia met his stormy gaze. There was no condescension in his eyes, only genuine respect. Thank you, Your Grace. I am glad to know my research aligns with your practical experience. Over the next 3 weeks, the dynamic at Bramblewood shifted dramatically. Nathaniel did not isolate himself in the guest wing. Instead, he sought Lydia out. He found her in the library before dawn, poring over crop rotations. He rode alongside her as she visited the furthest tenant farms. Unlike Simon, who had treated Lydia like a delicate secret to be hidden, Nathaniel treated her like an intellectual equal. He challenged her opinions, respected her boundaries, and listened to her with an intensity that made her breath catch in her throat. One evening by the roaring fire in the library, Nathaniel watched her read over a legal contract. "You are a terrifyingly capable woman, Lydia," he murmured, his use of her Christian name sending a jolt of electricity down her spine. "How is it that society missed you?" Lydia's pen halted. The shadows of Oakhaven crept into her mind. "Society did not miss me, Your Grace. It appraised me, found my lineage lacking, and my pockets empty, and discarded me." "Then society is entirely populated by fools," he said, softly leaning forward. But their isolated sanctuary was about to be breached. The past Lydia was about to learn rarely stays buried. News of the Duke of Aylesbury's extended stay in Somerset had eventually leaked to the elite circles of London. The matchmaking matriarchs were in a frenzy, wondering what could keep the most eligible bachelor in England sequestered in the countryside. Inevitably, the whispers reached the ears of Lady Honoria Arbuthnot. Through her network of gossips and spies, Honoria learned not only of the Duke's location, but of the constant companion at his side, the very girl she had thrown out into the rain. The idea that a dismissed, penniless companion was now breathing the same air as a duke, potentially securing a patron of such immense power, infuriated her. A letter arrived at Bramblewood, sealed with the heavy wax crest of the Arbuthnot family. It was addressed directly to the Duke of Aylesbury. Lydia recognized the handwriting immediately as she sorted the morning post. A cold dread pooled in her stomach. Lady Honoria was not a woman who let her victims escape her grasp. She reached from afar, intent on destroying the fragile peace Lydia had painstakingly built, armed with half-truths and vicious venom. The storm was no longer outside the manor walls. It had just been invited in. Tension hung in the library of Bramblewood Hall, like a thick, suffocating fog, the morning the letter arrived. Nathaniel Wentworth, the Duke of Aylesbury, stood by the massive mahogany desk, staring down at the thick vellum parchment, bearing the arrogant wax seal of the Arbuthnot family. Outside, the Somerset winds howled through the ancient oaks, but inside the silence was absolute and heavy with unspoken danger. Nathaniel broke the seal with a swift, decisive motion. He did not ask for Lydia Harrington's permission, nor did he consult Lady Agatha, who was dozing in her wheeled chair by the hearth, as his stormy grey eyes scanned the elegant looping script of Lady Honoria Arbuthnot, his jaw clenched so tightly that a muscle jumped beneath his skin. The letter was a masterpiece of aristocratic venom, dripping with feigned concern and calculated slander. Honoria had woven a breathtakingly cruel tapestry of lies. She wrote that she felt a moral obligation as a peeress of the realm to warn His Grace about the vipers that hide in plain sight. She painted Lydia not as an innocent dependent cast out for a son's indiscretion, but as a manipulative, avaricious seductress who had attempted to entrap Simon Arbuthnot using blackmail and deceit. Honoria even went so far as to claim that Lydia had stolen a priceless family heirloom, a sapphire brooch, upon her dismissal, implying that the girl's current employment was merely a front to hide from the magistrates of Gloucestershire. Lydia entered the library just as Nathaniel finished the final poisonous paragraph. She carried a stack of freshly bound agricultural ledgers, her face flushed from the brisk autumn air. When she saw the Duke standing rigid by the desk, holding the crushed letter, the warmth instantly drained from her cheeks. She recognized the thick, cream-colored paper and the distinctive crimson wax of Oakhaven Manor. The ghost of Lady Honoria had breached her sanctuary. "You received correspondence from Oakhaven." Lydia stated, her voice remarkably steady, despite the sudden violent hammering of her heart against her ribs. She set the ledgers down on the nearest table, squaring her shoulders. She would not run. She had promised herself on that miserable coach ride months ago that she would never cower before the elite again. Nathaniel looked up, his expression unreadable. "Lady Honoria Arbuthnot possesses a remarkably vivid imagination, Miss Harrington. She seems to believe you are a thief, a blackmailer, and a woman of dangerously loose morals who nearly destroyed her son's impeccable future." Lydia felt the blood rush to her ears. The sheer audacity of the lie took her breath away. "A thief," she whispered, the raw injustice of the accusation cutting through her practiced composure. "She accused me of theft." "A sapphire brooch, to be exact," Nathaniel replied, stepping around the desk. He closed the distance between them, his towering frame casting a long shadow over her. "She urges me to dismiss you immediately, lest you strip Bramblewood bare and ruin my own pristine reputation by association." Lydia closed her eyes, fighting the hot sting of tears. It was not enough that Honoria had taken her home, her livelihood, and the illusion of love. The matriarch was determined to annihilate Lydia's character, entirely ensuring she would never find peace or employment anywhere in England. "Are you going to ask me if it is true, Your Grace?" Lydia asked softly, opening her eyes to meet his piercing gaze directly. "No," Nathaniel answered instantly, his voice a low rumbling anchor in the storm of her panic. "I am not going to ask you, Lydia, because I already know it is a fabrication." Lydia blinked, utterly taken aback. "You do?" Nathaniel reached into the inner pocket of his tailored coat and produced a smaller folded document. "When I realized how deeply intrigued I was by Lady Agatha's brilliant, fiery estate manager, I did what any man of my station and resources would do. I sent my private solicitor, Mr. Josiah Abernathy of Lincoln's Inn, a man whose investigative network rivals the Crown's, to look into your background. I wished to know everything about the woman who was thoroughly outsmarting me in agricultural debates." He unfolded the document, revealing Abernathy's precise, cramped handwriting. "Josiah discovered the truth of your departure from Oakhaven within 3 days. He spoke to the scullery maids, the stable boys, and the carriage driver who took you away in the rain. He learned of Simon Arbuthnot's cowardice and his mother's vicious pride. He also confirmed that the famed Arbuthnot sapphire brooch was worn by Lady Honoria herself at a gala in London nearly 2 weeks ago. Lydia stared at him, her chest heaving as the crushing weight of impending doom evaporated, replaced by a profound, overwhelming shock. "You investigated me." "I protected you," Nathaniel corrected, gently stepping close enough that she could smell the clean scent of cedar and rain on his coat. "And in doing so, I discovered a woman of unparalleled integrity. A woman who, when faced with complete destitution, chose hard labor and intellectual pursuit over begging for mercy from cowards." He reached out his warm, rough fingers, gently catching a stray curl of hair that had escaped her pins, tucking it behind her ear. The intimacy of the gesture sent a shiver down her spine. "Lady Honoria told you to find someone your level." "Lydia!" Nathaniel murmured, his eyes blazing with a fierce, protective fire. "She believed she was condemning you to the gutters. Instead, she set you on a path to cross mine, and I intend to make her regret those words for the rest of her miserable life." Lydia's breath hitched. "What are you proposing, Nathaniel?" "I'm proposing a reckoning," the Duke replied, a dangerous smile touching the corners of his mouth. "In 1 month, I am hosting the annual Midsummer Gala at my primary estate, Aylesbury Park, in Hampshire. It is the premier social event of the season. Invitations are more coveted than royal pardons. I shall write back to Lady Honoria today, expressing my deepest, most horrified gratitude for her warning. I will invite her and her sniveling son to the gala as my honored guests, ostensibly to thank them for saving me from your clutches." "They will come," Lydia breathed, understanding dawning on her. "They would never refuse an invitation from the Duke of Aylesbury. It would elevate their social standing exponentially." "Exactly," Nathaniel agreed. "They will walk into Aylesbury Park expecting a triumph. Instead, they will walk into a trap meticulously designed to destroy them. But I cannot do this without you, Lydia. You must be willing to stand before all of society and look your tormentors in the eye." Lydia thought of the muddy roads, the cold coach, and the absolute powerlessness she had felt in the Oakhaven drawing room. She thought of Simon's eyes fixed on the fireplace while she was thrown to the wolves. A new forged iron settled in her soul. "Tell me what I must do," she said. The grand ballroom of Aylesbury Park was a spectacle of unparalleled opulence. Thousands of beeswax candles blazed in massive crystal chandeliers, casting a golden ethereal glow over the creme de la creme of British society. The walls were lined with gilded mirrors reflecting the dizzying swirl of silk satin and flashing diamonds. It was a gathering of power and privilege, a glittering fortress where reputations were both forged and shattered in the span of a single waltz. Lady Honoria Arbuthnot glided through the throngs of aristocrats with the smug satisfaction of a conqueror. Beside her walked Simon, looking stiff and uncomfortable in his tailored evening wear, but Honoria paid his unease no mind. She was basking in the envious stares of her peers. The Duke of Aylesbury had personally invited them, cementing her status as a woman of supreme influence. She had successfully eradicated the stain of Lydia Harrington and secured her son's flawless future. At the far end of the ballroom, standing upon the raised dais reserved for the host, Nathaniel Wentworth surveyed the crowd. He looked devastatingly handsome, wearing the stark black and blinding white of formal evening attire, the royal blue sash of the Order of the Garter slashed across his chest. As the orchestra concluded a sweeping symphony, Nathaniel raised a hand. The music ceased abruptly. A hush fell over the magnificent room as hundreds of heads turned toward the Duke. "My lords, ladies, and esteemed guests," Nathaniel's powerful baritone echoed effortlessly off the vaulted ceilings. "I welcome you to Aylesbury Park. Tonight is a night of celebration, but it is also a night of truth. For too long our society has valued title over character and wealth over honor. Tonight I intend to rectify a grievous wrong." In the center of the room, Lady Honoria smiled faintly, leaning toward Simon. "He is going to thank us," she whispered gleefully. "He's going to denounce that little harlot publicly." "I recently received correspondence from a woman in this very room." Nathaniel continued, his eyes scanning the crowd, before locking on to Honoria with the precision of a sniper. The crowd parted slightly, leaving the Arbuthnots exposed. "She warned me of a dangerous criminal residing in my home. She claimed this young woman was a thief, a liar, and a manipulator who had attempted to trap her son into a scandalous marriage." Murmurs of shock rippled through the elite crowd. Fans fluttered nervously. Nathaniel descended the steps of the dais, his gaze never leaving Honoria. "She claimed this young woman stole a priceless family sapphire, a heavy accusation, one that carries the penalty of transportation or the gallows." "Your Grace." Honoria preened, stepping forward slightly, adopting an expression of solemn duty. "It was my agonizing burden to warn you. One must protect the sanctity of our peers. Indeed, Lady Honoria," Nathaniel said, stopping a few feet from her. The entire ballroom was holding its collective breath. "And I took your warning so seriously that I engaged my private solicitor, Mr. Josiah Abernathy, to investigate the matter thoroughly. Mr. Abernathy is exceptionally thorough. In fact, he discovered something fascinating about your famous sapphire brooch." Honoria's smug smile faltered slightly. Nathaniel turned to the crowd, his voice carrying like thunder. "Mr. Abernathy discovered that Lady Honoria wore that very same stolen sapphire to Lord Palmerston's private dinner merely 14 days ago, long after the accused had supposedly absconded with it." Gasps erupted from the surrounding aristocrats. Lady Honoria turned an ashen, sickly grey. There must be some mistake," she stammered, her iron composure cracking. "A misunderstanding of my words." "There is no misunderstanding," Nathaniel snapped, his voice cracking like a whip. "You sought to destroy an innocent woman because her blood was not blue enough for your fragile pride, and because your son, Nathaniel, turned his lethal gaze upon Simon, who visibly shrank backward, was too much of a coward to stand by the woman he claimed to love." The silence in the ballroom was absolute deafening in its intensity. "You told her to find someone her level, Lady Honoria," Nathaniel said softly, though the words carried to every corner of the silent hall. "And she did." He turned away from the trembling matriarch and looked toward the grand sweeping staircase at the entrance of the ballroom. "May I present the future Duchess of Aylesbury?" Every eye in the room pivoted. Lydia Harrington stood at the top of the stairs, and she was a vision that stole the breath from the room. She was not dressed in the meek, muted tones of a paid companion. She wore a gown of deep midnight blue silk that shimmered like a starless sky, tailored perfectly to her slender frame. At her throat rested the legendary Aylesbury diamonds, a collar of breathtaking, flawless stones that eclipsed anything Honoria Arbuthnot had ever owned. Her hair was swept up in an elegant modern style, and her chin was high. She radiated a quiet, unbreakable power. She descended the stairs with the grace of a queen. The crowd parted for her, leaving a clear path to the center of the room. As she passed Lady Honoria, and Simon Lydia did not sneer, nor did she gloat. She simply looked right through them, as if they were nothing more than ghosts of a forgotten, irrelevant past. It was the ultimate devastating insult. Nathaniel stepped forward, taking her gloved hand and bowing over it with profound reverence. When he straightened, He pulled her to his side, facing the stunned congregation of London's elite. Miss Lydia Harrington is a woman of unmatched intellect, profound grace, and unshakable honor. Nathaniel declared, his voice ringing with absolute authority. She is my equal in every conceivable measure. Anyone who speaks a word against her, who slights her in public or in private, will answer directly to the full devastating weight of the Aylesbury fortune and influence. He turned to Lydia, his stormy eyes softening into something raw and beautiful. Will you do me the absolute honor of becoming my wife, Lydia? Lydia smiled, a genuine, radiant expression that lit up the grand ballroom. She squeezed his hand, grounding herself in the reality of this extraordinary man who had crossed counties to pull her from the shadows. It would be my greatest privilege, Your Grace, she replied clearly. The ensuing applause started near the dais, led by a surprisingly spry Lady Agatha Linfield, and quickly spread through the ballroom until it was a deafening roar of approval. High society, always eager to align itself with true power, instantly accepted the new order. As the orchestra desperately struck up a triumphant waltz, Lady Honoria Arbuthnot and her son practically fled to the ballroom, slipping out into the cold night, utterly disgraced and exiled from the upper echelons of society forever. The matriarch had tried to bury Lydia in the dirt, but she had failed to realize one fundamental truth. Lydia Harrington was a seed, and under the fierce protective sun of the Duke of Aylesbury, she had bloomed into a force of nature that no one would ever dismiss again. If you loved this story of vengeance, high society drama, and a woman who proved that true worth isn't measured by an aristocratic title, please like this video and share it with your friends. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss another thrilling tale of romance, betrayal, and historical drama. What would you have done in Lydia's shoes? Let me know in the comments below.